Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Here are your state headlines. A California state bar judge has ruled that former Donald Trump attorney and law professor John Eastman should be stripped of his California law license. That's because of Eastman's violation of professional ethics in his attempt to help keep Trump in power after he lost the 2020 presidential election. In a 128-page ruling, the judge, Yvette Rowland, argued Eastman had knowingly misrepresented facts and shown gross negligence in lawsuits Eastman filed to support Trump's false claims about the election results. Although Eastman can appeal the judge's ruling, his state law license would remain inactive during an appeal, making Eastman unable to practice law. California legislators are out for their spring recess, but discussions about their bills are still happening outside of Sacramento committee rooms. CalMatters' Lynn Law has more on the ongoing conversation around one bill aimed at reducing retail theft.
Los Angeles Assemblymember Wendy Carrillo introduced this bill in response to rising concerns about retail theft. And essentially what it would do would make it easier for a police officer to arrest someone for a misdemeanor shoplifting offense, which is basically items that total $950 or less. And supporters of the bill like it because retail theft is happening and it'll make it easier for police officers to make arrests. But critics of the bill are concerned that this measure will hurt marginalized communities who have historically been over-policed. The debate around this measure underscores the difficult balance for lawmakers who want to respond to public concerns about crime, but not overcorrecting in a way that disproportionately impacts communities of color.
That's CalMatters' Lynn Law. A mass shooting at a pair of mushroom farms in a coastal town south of San Francisco last year exposed the deplorable conditions workers lived in. Now, the city of Half Moon Bay is preparing to break ground on permanent farm worker housing. KQED's senior immigration editor Tyke Hendricks has more.
A man named Cornelio has just gotten off his shift at the mushroom farm where he still works when I meet him on the porch of the temporary rental he moved into after last year's shooting.
Pues la verdad, yo estaba trabajando adentro Bernadero.
He says he was inside the greenhouse on January 23rd last year when a co-worker began the shooting spree that took seven lives.
Cuando yo vi eso, pues, entonces,
he tells me what he saw shook him to his core.
Mi nombre es Vicente.
Vicente was there too. He's 52. Both men asked not to use their full names due to immigration concerns. The county has put them up in this funky guest house downtown for the past year. It's a lot better than living on the mushroom farm, California Terra Garden. Vicente says the trailers were crowded, with no place to cook and no hot water. Facts that Governor Gavin Newsom called out when he toured the farms after the shooting.
Some of you should see where these folks are living. The conditions they're living in, shipping containers, living in shipping containers.
Local, state, and federal officials vowed to make things better and tackle the larger housing crisis agricultural workers face in this corner of the expensive Bay Area. To start, San Mateo County committed $1 million to cover a year's rent for the 38 people who lived on the mushroom farms, including Cornelio and Vicente. The city of Half Moon Bay and local foundations will pick up the cost for this second year while permanent houses are built. Nearly 50 manufactured homes will go on this parcel of land, across a creek from the mushroom farm.
We are moving fast.
That's Mayor Joaquin Jimenez. He says they'll break ground soon and be ready early next year.
From the shooting, that is giving us the opportunity, you know, to move faster as an emergency housing.
As the child of farm workers himself, Jimenez knows about crowded housing. For a while, his family shared a three-bedroom house with 21 people. He also knows how important it is to help low-income farm workers become homeowners. And the new project will do just that. State home loans will allow some families to buy their units.
The farm workers are going to get to own their mojo home. It's with the idea to help them build wealth, you know, for their family.
Other projects are in the works, too. The city is developing an apartment building for 40 elder farm workers, and the county is buying a site with plans for at least 100 more homes. Officials estimate hundreds of units are still needed, but County Supervisor Ray Mueller says he sees real progress.
We are light years from where we were a year ago.
The shooting also prompted the county to create a new task force to inspect all on-farm housing. Mueller says taking care of farm workers is not only the right thing to do, it's important for the health of the county's economy, where agriculture is a $100 million industry.
Agriculture is incredibly important. It provides food resilience to the region. And then obviously there's the economics of being able to go ahead and have that thriving industry there, which provides good jobs.
And the people doing those jobs, like Cornelio and Vicente, need an affordable place to live. By early next year, they could be moving into permanent homes, homes they could eventually own. Cornelio says that would finally give him peace of mind.
Ya uno así con una vivienda humilde, pues al menos no vamos a andar para arriba y para abajo.
Vicente says even a humble house will do, a place where he can finally live together with his wife and son again, maybe with a park nearby where his little boy can play outside. For the California Report, I'm Taiki Hendricks in Half Moon Bay.
Support for the California Report comes from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who are working to ensure that people, communities, and the planet can flourish. The James Irvine Foundation, now accepting nominations for the 2025 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards at irvineawards.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy works to create a healthy, resilient, secure world for all, on the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, March 28th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.